to 89.3 FM KAOS Olympia.
Bone days.
Bone days. The great search for truth. Every meaning has a meaning. Dark and light have their reasons. Live and learn are the seasons.
Bone days.
Bone days. With all that's left, motions of everydayness and thoughts that won't leave, leaving behind another sameness. Life to your knees. You don't know what to pray, so you keep making pleas. Living here.
Bone days.
Bone days. Covering the night in the tears of the stars and the way memories run. Every ending has just begun. Bone days.
The promise is the lie. Ones want to hear.
Bone days.
What if the truth is seen and nobody's living here?
And that was Mr. John Trudell with Bone Days. And this is Raven Redbone, and tonight I have Faith Gemmell calling in at 5:30. I'm going to play a few songs and just share this evening. Next week we have the Pledge Drive, and I have some special gifts to give out during my show. And also I just wanted to share with... this was a really nice day today. I've been able to chill out at home, but there's an art show at the Evergreen State College here at Evergreen Gallery from October 14th to January 12th, and it's called It's Complicated, Art About Home. And it says here, in a home, a house, a place, a reservation, an ecological region, a spiritual landscape, a gathering of family and friends, is home an idea or a feeling, or a literal architectural space? Can we choose home? Is there an ancestral geography home that is more home than any other place could be? What are the dynamics of the very literal legal and geographic boundaries to home on our tribal lands, reservations, pueblos, and reserves? What are the experiences of moving from one home to another? How do we make a new place? How do we do these experiences of home tie in with our daily life and the divisions between home and work, family and friends? And it says here, Evergreen faculty member Laura M. Evans, PhD, this exhibit looks at how Native American and First Nation artists address these questions. It is complicated. Art about home includes work by Nicholas Gallen, Erangenia, Maria Hupfield, Marette Johnson, Jason Lupan, Sarah Sense, Kate Twist, and Jeffrey Virage. Hope I'm getting that right. And for more questions, 360-867-5125. This is Raven Redbone, and I want to dedicate this next song to my wife and the Hummingbird Stand Lodge and Auntie Carol, Uncle Bill. And it was a nice day, and so thank you. And here it is. One second. Here we go. Evening Star by Jamie Sams and John York off the Clan Mothers songs. Again, that's dedicated to Hummingbird Stands Lodge. And this is Raven Redbone. You're listening to Make No Bones About It. And the next song I got queued up, this song was written by Dana Lyons, and it was when he was up in Gwich'in territory with Evan Peters, who was soon to be chief of the nation, and during the most important watch And as you know, they've been trying to drill up there forever in the Arctic National Park. And it just saddens me when our government can't get a clue with the way that they're treating Mother Earth, and we need to treat her in a nicer way. And so he wrote this song for Evan, and it just touched my heart. Every time I hear it, it symbolizes, it really touches me, and it talks about what's going on. And again, I have Faith Gemmell calling in, and she's been fighting for to save the lands up there, but all the sacred lands and the indigenous, the constant war that's been taken on our indigenous lands out there, that the drilling and the cutting the trees and the poisoning of the water and the uranium and all these things are all tied in, and all the work. And I'm just real excited to have Faith call in and let us know what's going on and how we can help, because we're constantly with all these administrations coming in there, and they still want to drill up there. And I wanted to talk about that and what we can do. I'm writing letters, but what we can do, what we all can do more of. And again, this is Make No Bones About It. This is Brave and Redbone. And we're also kind of funny in chaos tonight. We're getting ready for our move to back to our new digs over in the main place where I used to, when I first got started over there in the cab. And so it's really interesting to be in the production studio. And I'm excited about the move. And, of course, we got the pledge drive next week. And, starting tomorrow. And, again, this is KAOS 89.3 FM. This is Raven Redbone. And stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a KAOS member? Well, first, it means that you support the community service, independent music, and variety of programs we air at KAOS every day. It also means you have the KAOS member card, the card to get you access to discounts from KAOS patron businesses throughout the South Sound on an amazing variety of goods and services, and they're only available to card-carrying members of KAOS. KAOS patron businesses include Aaron Barna Photography, Traditions Cafe and World Folk Art, and Olympia Supply Company. For a complete listing of businesses and discounts offered to KAOS members, go online to chaosradio.org. Just click on Patron Business under the Join button.
Old, and I've walked 1,000 miles through the tundra where we hunt the caribou. I have seen the antlers fall. I have smelled the steaming blood. Through the Arctic snow we carry home the food. First my grandmother is fed, and the elder with no child. Then Jamie, who's disabled and the best, meat goes to feed the old and to feed the very young, and to take care of their mothers and what's left. I take home to my cache, I tan the hide and prep, and give thanks to the Creator. And I speak my heart, how we love our land. And I pray that I can make them understand. I am 25 years old, and I feel so very young. to be chosen by my people to be chief. But I'll take the time and go, and I'll listen very well to those older and much wiser, and they'll tell me the stories of this land and the history of our race. And I feel my anger rising, then his hand holds tightly to my arm, my grandfather and me, and reminds me to think clearly. And I speak my heart, how we love our land. And I pray that I can make them understand our way of life for 10,000 years. How my ancestors have always hunted here. I am 25 years old, and I've flown a million miles to tell the world my people here will die if the oil drilling comes, if the caribou are gone, with no place to birth their babies, and my son is only 4 years old. It's hard to go away, 'cause I love to watch him growing. Every day I see the future in his eyes, and I can feel the elders' pride that we are fighting to preserve the Gwich'in way. I am 25 years old, and sometimes I am afraid, but I know we stand together. And I speak my heart, how we love our land. And I pray that I can make them understand our way of life for 10,000 years. Ancestors have always hunted here. Ooh, 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 ooh.
And that was Dana Lyons, and that was Chosen by My People. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that cab dedication that's happening here Wednesday, November 17th at 3 p.m. Wednesday, November 17th is the dedication and grand reopening of the campus activities building here at the Evergreen State College from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy tours of the new cab, live music, prizes, and much more. The ribbon-cutting ceremony takes place at 3 p.m. For more information, go to www.evergreen.edu. That's Wednesday, November 17th. And again, this is Make No Bones About It. This is Raven Redbone. And in about 10 minutes, Faith should be calling in and play a few more things. And we'll be back. And here we go. And this is Make No Bones About It.
I'm a manager of the salmon, the Pacific salmon, that migrates from the river that I live on, the Nisqually River, and I'm a tribal member of the Nisqually tribe. And I'm the chairman of the Northwest Indian Fish Commission that represents the 20 tribes up in the Northwest along the Pacific Ocean. And we deal with Canada and our natives of Canada and Alaska and our natives of Alaska. And the Pacific salmon migrates out in the ocean for 4 or 5 years and then comes home, comes right back to that river that you live on. And your river has to have a home for that salmon when he gets there. He's got to sustain his life again, reproduce, and the migration starts all over. The circle of life is there. It's plain and simple. And so that's what we fight about. We fight about the habitat. You're a bad guy. If you fight about water, if you want to protect water, you're a bad guy. If you want to protect the natural resource and all these animals of our relatives out there, you're the bad guy. You know, so when you walk in the room, everybody wants to develop everything. They want to, these wetlands out here, you know, they want to cover them over. This year we've had a lot of fishery going on up in the Northwest. And the Lummi tribe, where Steve is our professor of our college up there in northern state of Washington, up by the Canadian border, they were so happy. I was up at the college on a Saturday morning, and these all the Lummi tribal people come down and say, "Hey, Billy, we're going fishing tomorrow." You know, and I mean, this is just exciting. You know, we get a 26-hour opening for this fish family. Sockeye salmon are coming around Vancouver Island, coming down the Strait to Juan de Fuca, coming into Area 7 where they fish. And they fished. They went fishing. They never caught any fish. All when they first set their nets, 1,800 foot of net out, goes up, and it start, you start drifting with your net. And the salmon start hitting the fish because we knew the salmon were there. We do test fishery and all of these. And the reason why I tell you is because this all is what we're talking about here. And all of a sudden their nets sank. These Indian nets, they sank. And they thought, oh boy, we're full of fish. You know, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of salmon was coming down the straits. Down to the Fraser River up in Canada. And they were coming around like that, going up the river. And it was slime what happened to them nets. They went out of sight. They couldn't pull their nets in with their big reels and the power reels is what they we pull our nets in. And with the slime was, you know, maybe 20 or 30 miles long, and you know, it's all, they call it slime in the newspaper. But it's your nets are so full of everything, you know, that the Lummies never caught anything this year. You know, that's their survival, is that salmon. But that goes back to what we're talking about here, the changing of our temperatures and everything. Along the Pacific Ocean, we're monitoring all the time. Our tribes are monitoring the watersheds, the ocean. We're monitoring the sounds, the inlets, the bays, and all of our rivers and creeks. And the tribes are there. They're managers with the state of Washington. Co-managers with the state of Washington. And as you watch the Pacific Ocean and the upwell of the ocean that comes clean down into Mexico, the upwelling is so important to our salmon, because the cold water comes down in this upwell, and it makes the temperature of the ocean and the bays and everything balance. So the salmon can come home and migrate up the rivers. But that temperature we've been seeing now is not there anymore. You know, it's changing. You know, that current is not changing. And there's all kinds of different things that are happening out here before our eyes. And it worries a lot of the science people. It worries everybody. You know, when I don't disrespect anybody for what they're doing, but you got to start telling the public the truth. The public wants Puget Sound cleaned up, and they want the ocean cleaned up for the quality of life that we enjoy here in the Great Northwest. You know, so don't say we have to study some more, and you know, we want to get to do something. So that's kind of where we are, you know. And that's the educating of the educators. Now you're educating the educators. So, but hey, you know, that's what we do. You know, we carry a club. What is a club? You know, a club is your treaty right. Club is a federal judge that is on your side. A club is the news media. You know, a club is you embarrassing these damn people. You know, embarrass these people. Don't be goddamn scared to tell them like it is. You know, embarrass them and make them do something without doing the status quo that they're doing. You know, make them do something. Our people, our warriors, the people before us, they had to be there for our survival, for us to be here today. And they had to lead us through the snow, and they had to fight the cavalry and the army and whatever we had to do to get us to where we are today. But we're in a changing time. It's different from the time when I was young and where we are today, you know. But we don't want to get scared of that. We got to gather ourselves up, gather our children. We're talking about our culture and our way of life. We're talking about how we have to stick to that culture and them dreams that we had in them days and the days that passed. Our spiritual life and what that fire is all about.
And that was Billy Frank Jr., and that was at the Tribal Climate Change Conference that was happening a couple years ago. And, yeah, we want that Salish Sea cleaned, and we want the clean water, and we want fresh fish, and we want wild fish, and we want all those God-given rights that all of us deserve. Clean water, clean food, clean air, beautiful Mother Earth to walk on, no uranium in the water. We're going to be talking about that pretty soon here with Faith Gemmell. It's going to be calling in, and Faith is the current outreach coordinator for REDOLI, Resisting Environmental Destruction on Indigenous Lands. And it says REDOLI is a network that was created to share knowledge, experience, and strategies for addressing the impacts of oil and gas development in Alaska. Faith is a field representative and alternative board member of the International Indian Treaty Council, an organization of indigenous peoples from North, Central, South America, and the Pacific, working for the sovereignty and the self-determination of indigenous people and the recognition of and protection of indigenous rights, traditional cultures, and sacred lands. Before coming to the ITTC, Faith served as the program coordinator of the Gwich'in Steering Committee for nearly a decade, working on issues of development, human rights, and defense of homeland in the Gwich'in Island. And this is Ray Rebo, and we'll be right back. And this is Raven Redbone, and on the line I have with me Faith, Faith Gemmell. How you doing, Faith?
I'm doing good.
I really appreciate you calling in. I was just sharing with our listeners a little bit about your background and how the work that you've been doing to stop the drilling and the impact of gas and oil and Gwich'in Land. And it just amazes me that every administration, the fight that has to happen in order for them to stop and one of the most prestigious places on earth, with the caribou coming through and just everywhere that's been impacted on indigenous lands. And I was just, you know, I usually start with asking my guests if they would like to share a little bit more than what I shared about you, and then we can talk a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Sure. Well, I'm Nitzai Gwich'in Wintu Pit River. I was raised in Arctic Village, Bushrite Coal, and I work at this time with Indigenous Nations throughout Alaska, of Inupiat, Yupik, Aleut, Tlingit, Iyak, Gwich'in, and then Aina Athabascan tribes, through resisting environmental destruction on Indigenous lands. We created Red Oil to challenge the fossil fuel and mining industry and demand our rights to a safe and healthy environment conducive to subsistence. We address human and ecological health impacts brought on by the fossil fuel and mining industry and unsustainable development practices of these industries. One of our founding principles is we strongly support self-determination rights of tribes in Alaska, as well as a just transition from fossil fuel development to sustainable economies and sustainable development. So in this work that I do, I work on many issues throughout the state of Alaska now. We're just holding the line up there.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you know, if we could just first talk a little bit about the what the holding the line means and how people can get involved. I know that writing letters and putting out the voice and just coming into the community, but is the current administration listening? Is Obama listening? And what do we need to do is to help? Because I know this is after the latest thing that happened in Florida with all the oil, and they still want to come up and drill, and we know that that's not the solution, and we can't continue to move this way, or we're going to destroy the place for us to live. I know Mother Earth will always be here, but will we?
Right. Well, currently at this time in Alaska, it's the energy policy of the United States targets many indigenous lands throughout Alaska. When I talk about it, I always say Alaska is ground zero within the current energy policy of the United States. Our homelands are at threat, and this is perpetuated by the current demand for energy to feed the high consumption energy needs of America. And we're the ones that are going to pay the price in Alaska. There are many areas at this time that are being targeted, and I can just give an overview of these areas so people can understand how much is at threat in Alaska. We have multinational oil companies that are currently seeking development within the continental shelf, and this is Shell Oil, ConocoPhillips. They're looking at the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas. We fought this development alongside with the people of the area, the Inupiat. We've supported them in trying to protect their subsistence whaling way of life. We've been part of lawsuits trying to stop Shell, and we've actually been victorious on all of our lawsuits. And right now, within the Chukchi Sea, we won in the District Court of Alaska in our lawsuit, and the court sent back to the former MMS Borme to publish a draft EIS. And so this is something that's coming up. People can comment on this issue by November 30th. And it's the draft supplemental environmental impact statement on the Chukchi Sea lease sale 193. The people of that area don't want any kind of offshore development within their ocean. When they talk about the Chukchi Sea, they refer to it as their garden. And then further north, there's the Beaufort Sea. Shell is, when Shell first came to Alaska, they wanted to drill 18 wells offshore in the Beaufort Sea, which would have been right offshore of the Arctic Refuge. And we pushed and fought that in court, and we won. And now Shell is coming back and saying they will only drill one well, and they're submitting that proposal now, and they want to drill that well next summer. And we're challenging that through the permitting process at this time. The people there don't want offshore development in the Beaufort Sea either, because the bowhead whales migrate through the Beaufort Sea, and that's their subsistence food source. Then if you go further down, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, that area is constantly and always at threat. We're hoping that the government would realize that the values that Arctic Refuge has are more important than energy values. Then in my people's territory within the Yukon Flats in Alaska, this is the Yukon Flats Wildlife Refuge. Doyon Native Corporation is trying to drill for oil on their Native Corporation land. And this is without the support of the communities that are in the region. One community supports it on record, and the rest of the Gwich'in and Koyukon communities do not support it, because if there was ever a spill there, and if that spill hit the Yukon River, it would impact 66 communities that are downriver in the Yukon River. And the people there are concerned about the salmon. Their subsistence way of life is based on the salmon. And then within the National Petroleum Reserve of Alaska, NPRA, there's a place called Teshekpuk Lake. This area is also being targeted for further expansion of oil development, but this area also is a subsistence use area for Inupiat, and they want this area protected. So we support them in that effort. Then if you move and look at the mining industry, there's actually mining projects proposed in traditional territories of Inupiat, Yupik, Aleut, and Haida tribes. And this is the proposed Donovan Creek mine, which would impact Yupik communities. It's an open-pit gold mine in the Kuskokwim River watershed. Then there's Pebble Mine, which is a gold and copper mine being proposed in southwest Alaska, which would impact the Yupik and Aleut people that depend on salmon in that region. And then there's the Alim Uranium Mine, which is up in southwestern Seward Peninsula. And then the Bokan Uranium Mine, which is near the Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. These are mines that are all being proposed in indigenous peoples' territories, and they would threaten the subsistence way of life of the people that have to live by these mines. So the people are fighting to protect their homelands from the mines. And then now we see expansion of coal development coming into Alaska, and coal development proposals within traditional territories of Inupiat and Dena Aina Athabaskan peoples. And it's under the guise of providing clean energy. These mines are being, the coal development is being proposed to directly support energy needs of the mining development projects in Alaska. And that's the Wishbone Hill mine, which will be located next to the community of Chickaloon. The people there are opposed to that mine. Then there's the Nunushik coal mine, which is right next to the community of Onuktuvit Pass. And the people there are already in litigation trying to stop that. Then there's the Chewitna coal project, which would affect the community of Tyonik. And that's near Anchorage in the Cook Inlet region. And then there's the Western Arctic Coal Project, which is up on the North Slope by the community of Point Lay. And it's situated along the Chukchi Sea. Coal development is new, and the people are learning about the health impacts of coal development. And because these coal development projects are in watersheds, it will impact salmon, it will impact human health. There are mercury issues related to coal development. And mm-hmm. so the people at this time are trying to fight off these proposals within our territory. So as I said, Alaska is ground zero for U.S. energy policy right now.
And they're still cleaning up for all the dumping that the United States military has dumped all kinds of different things into the waterway up there.
Right. And there's over 700 military dump sites in Alaska.
That's yeah, I remember speaking with Uncle Billy, Billy Frank Jr. is Nisqually here, and he sits on all the water boards across Turtle Island, and he was saying that they've been cleaning up there for 50 years, and these all these other impacts that are happening as they're cleaning, like you were talking about mercury and uranium, and it all comes through the water, and it eventually will affect everyone. But, like, I mean, the wildlife and, once it goes away, it's not coming back.
Right. And in Alaska, our communities are so isolated. We don't have large grocery stores. We live a life that's based on the land. Every community lives a subsistence way of life. That's what they term it in the English language. But for us, it's just simply our way of life. We rely on the land to provide our food and our nutritional needs, our spiritual needs, our cultural needs. Everything we are as a people is entirely dependent on our land. And so for our people in Alaska, all Native people, it's very important that our land remain intact, healthy, whole, to continue to provide for the needs of the people. And I don't see people living this way of life anymore as much as we do, and as much as how dependent we are on what the land provides us. So it's very important for us. We won't be able to survive if all of these projects go through as Indigenous people with our way of life intact. So we're fighting. We're doing everything we can to stop these industries.
And I was reading a little bit about, I'm not know the proximity to where Bristol Island is, but I was wondering what the effects with all that, what would happen there too with the salmon and things.
Right. Bristol Bay was also part of the Outer Continental Shelf 5-year plan under the Bush administration, where the Bush administration proposed development to 83 million acres of offshore waters in Alaska, and that was the Beaufort Sea, Chukchi Sea, Bristol Bay, and Cook Inlet. When Obama came in, and we have a new administration, they put a stop to the plan. They basically just slowed down the process. And one thing that was good was Bristol Bay was actually taken off the table. And Bristol Bay, there's no push by Shell for offshore development within Bristol Bay. And they have some time. They will decide again in the year 2017 whether they're going to drill offshore there. And the reasoning behind taking Bristol Bay off the table was because that's world-renowned salmon fisheries. But with Pebble Mine being pushed right upstream in that watershed, it will impact the salmon. And Pebble Mine should not be put in that area because the subsistence fishing will be impacted, but also the commercial fishing. And world-renowned salmon fisheries will be impacted by that mine.
Absolutely. And just to see, like, what happened in the Gulf and, not the Gulf, yeah, well, down in the Florida, just the impact that's having. And I've been watching, these YouTubes that people have been going out and pulling off the sediment that's in the water, and it's like tar, and then watching the videos with all that, the chemicals and stuff that they put into the water coming up in through, into the Midwest, through the waterways that are affecting the vegetation, and they have these little white dots on them, on some of the trees and stuff that are killing the plants and stuff, so... when all these things are happening, it affects everyone. And, you know, I wanted to, like, really, how could we help? Like, what can we do to, you know, get this out there? Because a lot of people, like you said, like, don't really know, like, what's going on, because it is very isolated. But I think through, you know, the web and people talking, that we can stop it. I would love to see something on the bill that protects that place forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been pushing, and I've written a few letters, and you know, I'm not sure that they got received, but I definitely emailed them to the White House, Obama. But, you know, what would make the biggest impact?
Well, now one impact, or the support that people need in Alaska with lease sale 193, is if they do write a letter to the Department of Interior by November 30th related to the Chukchi Sea and protection of the Chukchi Sea for the subsistence way of life of the Inupiat people. That will help right now. The more that the department hears from Americans that this area is seen as a place that's important, it might make a difference as to what they decide to do as they move forward, and because they're making the decision now. And so people should weigh in now on that issue. I think people generally should challenge these energy policies, these insane energy policies that continue to threaten our livelihoods, our cultures, our future generations. These profit-driven economies are not sustainable. They threaten the existence of humanity, which is all of us. We're all dealing with global climate change. And if we continue to allow the burning of fossil fuels, we're contributing to our own demise, basically. Mm-hmm. We need to push for clean energy policies within this administration, and people need to constantly keep the pressure on with their own senators, their own congressmen at the national level in Washington, D.C. They need to call on this government to start implementing clean energy policy now. I mean, that was a promise. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
In Alaska, we have wind energy potential. We have solar energy potential. We could actually transition to these energy technologies as we wean ourselves from fossil fuels. And communities in Alaska are looking at that and are transitioning. And if we can do that in Alaska, it can be done anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think all people should just pressure the government.
Yeah.
Now, because we're all impacted by global climate change.
Yeah.
And this insane energy policy of the United States.
Well, I agree with you. I think we all can start right now doing something and switch to... I'm doing a lot of writing also on hemp and bringing that back. And... you know, we got tons of wind power out here, and we have to make that happen globally with everyone. we need everyone to put pressure on that. And you know, I know I'm a part of the problem too. I have a car out there, you know, but I take the bus as much as I can and things like that. But we need really to get our voices out there and really be green, not just talking about it. And we have the capability everywhere to do that. There's everywhere in Turtle Island, there's some type of green that we can. But I wanted to just, we got about 10 more minutes, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the verbiage that you talked about with they're disguising it with the green. They're putting it green energy. How is that worded? So like myself, if I was to look at something and they wanted to pass an energy thing and they got this, they're disguising it underneath this and it really means something else.
Well, start with the basic principle that coal is not clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the industry and government says when they're pushing for coal development, but it is not clean. It is not clean. There is nothing clean about it throughout the whole process. And as far as fossils, as far as oil development, gas, you know, they talk about gas development, like natural gas is clean. That's not clean development either. Methane is released. That impacts, that causes greenhouse gas. You know, it is a greenhouse gas, and it does impact and perpetuate global warming. All of these kinds of development proposals, they are unsustainable. There is nothing clean about it. And they do impact human health. I was down in the Gulf. I did see the spill with my own eyes. I was there right when the oil hit the marshes, right in the shrimping grounds of the indigenous people that rely on the shrimp for their subsistence food, their culture, their way of life is based on that economy. The shrimp provided their economic means, but also their subsistence. And I was there when the oil first hit. It was devastating. It was devastating to the people there. And they have a long struggle in front of them. When the Exxon Valdez oil spill happened in Alaska, it took 17 years for the shrimp industry to recover. And 22 years later, there were still, out of 22 species that were impacted, only 8 were on the recovered list. So that oil spill was a wake-up call. In my mind, it should have been a wake-up call to this country, yes, to all Americans and globally, that this industry that we're relying on is not healthy, and we need to shift how we use energy.
Yeah,
and it was a wake-up call. And I don't understand how the government and the oil companies can just still continue on with business as usual. And that profit at all cost mentality, leaving behind devastation.
Yeah, I know that we allow it. We have to, like you said, keep that pressure going, and we need to change. And it's changing the whole concept of, like, what Chief Arvo Looking Horse says, Mother Earth is the source of all life, not a resource.
Unfortunately, I think for Americans and for people, they will not start making the change until they're directly impacted.
Right.
In Alaska, global warming is a reality for us. We're already impacted. But I don't think others in other areas are seeing it on a daily basis like we are. And until they do, we're all in denial.
Right. And what you said earlier, like, all of it affects all of us. And, you know, I talk to a lot of my friends here that work for the Northwest Indian Fishery, and they've been fighting for protection of the salmon and in our backyard here, and how the Salish Sea that we have here that's been highly infected with pesticides and things like that into it. And we have to clean it. We have to put that pressure on and continue to, you know, like stop this, what, this madness that's happening, that we just keep on trashing Mother Earth and not to expect it to come up on our shores. I mean, it's right here. I mean, it's not as impact, like I think what you said, I think until like we see that big oil spill or something here, but I don't want to see that. I mean, right. All my relatives everywhere in Alaska, Florida, everywhere that I know are feeling it, and I'm feeling it, and I don't want it here, and I want to clean it up there. And that's why I was so excited, because I was talking to Evan, and he was telling me that I really needed to speak with you to get this out there, because they've been fighting this over and over and over, and we need to put our energy into cleaning it up and stop fighting. And this is important, you know, this is in our backyard, you know, Mother Earth is in all of our backyard. Mm-hmm. And we got a few more minutes left of the show, and G.W. Galbraith is in the house with View from Ashore, and I'm speaking with Faith Gemmell, and the website that you guys, it's www.ienearth.org. Is that the best way to get a hold of you?
Yes, /red oil.
And it's a wonderful webpage, and it has contact information. It has sustainable communities, green jobs, bioethics, biological diversity. There's sacred places, forests, endangered species, globalization. It's got so much information. And start writing those letters and getting out there locally. And Faith,
for sure. Start the pressure at the local level.
Absolutely. And as I always, you know, give my guests, first people here who I'm fortunate enough to be on their land, they have a saying of whatever's on your heart, if there's something that you wanted to say, usually if you don't say it, it follows you around. So I try to put that out there for myself and my guests. And I was just wondering in the last few minutes if there was something that you wanted to say that's on your heart.
Right now, I'm in my dad's people's territory, the Pitt River and Wintu people, and we actually are going to have a commemoration of the Four Corners occupation. The Pitt River occupied our own land. We actually were fighting to reclaim our land, and we're commemorating that event. The date is October 22nd through the 24th, and everyone is welcome to come support. It's going to be at Four Corners, and if people want information, they can call the Pitt River Tribal Office, 530-335-5421. We welcome anyone that supports the Pitt River struggle back then and today.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us this evening. And again, thanks for all the work that you're doing. And I'm definitely going to increase what I'm doing here and locally, and put that out there to our legislators. And again, thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
You have a good evening. And up next is G.W. Galbraith, Review from Ashore. Thanks, Faith. And this is Make No Bones About It, and that was Faith Gemmell, and this is Raven Redbone, and you're listening to KAOS 89.3 FM. And again, you know, I'm really in a spot right now. I'm lost for words, but our Earth needs our help, all of our help. You know, I hear Chief Phil in the back of my head. You know, the herd of one is the herd of all. And like all these things that are happening there on Mother Earth are affecting all of us, all of our relatives. And picking up a pen and writing or calling, we can all do that. And we have to be that warriors, those sacred warriors that we all are, and to protect our Earth and honor our Earth and take care of her. And we are the seventh generation, and we are here, and we have a lot of work to do, but we can do it together and heal. And, you know, here in America, listen. Let's listen to our elders. Let's listen to the first people that were here long before us that know their land, know everything about what's going on in their region, and bring it home. You know, let's clean up the Salish Sea here, and let's do the ceremonies and the songs and the joining together. Okay, and that's my rant for this evening. This is Raven Redbone. Take care.